Oh. Yeah. one to tell my troubles to. Just when I'm feeling downhearted and blue, just when I'm thinking that I can make it through, Jesus comes and answers prayer.
Glory, glory. They couldn't find that one.
Good to be in the house of God tonight, and again to worship Him, lift up His name, and praise. That last song you were singing, Sister Brian, that Jesus will answer prayer. He will, and I appreciate that. Knowing that tonight, that that as we worship Him and depend on Him, He can answer every prayer. We are blessed to be among people that expect God to help us. You know, we lean on Him. And I was thinking, we got to go to Jacksonville, Florida to this meeting, and I was so impressed with the ministers that discussed the subject that they talked about was one that they never dealt with in a long time. And the way they went about it, and it went well. And I was so I was blessed to be able to experience that. You know, men of God working for God, and being able to talk about things that maybe everybody don't agree on. They don't agree on it, but be able to. I remember Brother Leniger mentioned, you know, you can disagree but not be disagreeable. You can agree and not be with a disagreeable. I'm trying to get that, you know, you can work on things and not get in that spirit of, you know, just because we don't see things quite like it, you know, eye to eye, like we're looking forward to eventually. The minister is seeing eye to eye. That's what the scripture said when he bring again Zion, you know, that his ministry is going to see eye to eye. I look forward to that day. And but it was really exciting, and it was very interesting to hear, you know, thoughts. You know, you don't want to just hear just one side. If, you know, even if it's the truth, you I kind of like to hear what other people are thinking, and it can kind of help you to even appreciate what you have. And that's what kind of way I feel today is tonight is I appreciate where we are. I was thinking, you know, about just the church world out here. You know, I could be sitting in a church tonight thinking that I'm ready for heaven, that I don't have anything, you know, that just sitting, taking my ease and not even striving or not even reaching out for more, just feel like, you know, I have my ticket stamped. You know, I could have that attitude tonight. Matter of fact, it's been people come by my neighborhood visiting me, and I didn't answer their questions just like they wanted me to, and they was really want to say, you're not ready for heaven tonight. But anyway, you know, but I could be thinking that way. But I'm glad I'm in a place where, you know, then if you, you know, I've been in places where you had to go and stand in line, and when you get there, and you like the revenue department somewhere where you needed something else, and you get there and you waited all the time, you spent all the time in line, you get there and they say, well, you need this, you need to do that, then you got to go do that all over again. Could you imagine that with God? You know, you sitting back and got it, sitting at ease and thinking, you know, and you get to heaven, you heaven's door, and they say, well, you didn't quite measure up, you know. But anyway, I want to reach out for God. I want to know. I don't want to have any disappointments when it comes to God and when it comes to His kingdom and His, and especially heaven. You know, I don't want to be left thinking one way, thinking that I got it made, and God is requiring more of me. Man, I want to know that. I want to know, God, what are you requiring? That scripture is talking about, you know, what does God require? And I want to look into that. I want to have questions. You know, it's okay. It's all right to have questions about the things of God. And that's what we need to do. We want to know. You know, I want to know, you know, about God. And I don't want to, you know, wait when it's too late and not have oil in my lamps. You know, like the Brother Smith was covering the 10 versions. I won't be found among the ones that have oil. I don't want to sit back and think, you know, that, you know, God's not going to require this of me, and God, this is all God is requiring of us. But I think God is requiring more of us than that. You know, He wants us to have oil. He wants us to seek the things of God and be found a people that's searching the scriptures and to ask Him about God. I want to know about Him. I want to know about what He. And see, and think about it. Now, God have hidden things from the wise and prudent, you know. I could be in that category. I could be sitting over here thinking that I'm wise in my own spirit or even in this world or whatever. And God hide things from us. You know, you think, well, why would He do that? But anyway, He knows man. You know, He knows what we are of. He knows our spirit. And it's just like your children. When you grow, you have children, you like to do something nice for them, and sometimes you know them well enough to know, if I go through all this trouble and do this for them, I know they're not going to appreciate it, you know. And you may not go through all that trouble, you know, knowing, you know, they're not going to appreciate it. So you like for them to appreciate things that you do for them. So, you know, God, He's wise. He's a wise God. He knows us. And so anyway, let's begin to seek the Lord. I want to seek Him. I want to be able to do things on God's terms, not on my terms, but on God's terms. To want to know, God, what do you think about this? You know, and search that. He may have to give you an answer indirectly. You know, He may not give you a direct answer. He may tell you that, well, go do this. Go ask your pastor. You know, go ask the ministry and see what they tell you. You know, He may give you an indirect answer, but anyway, you need to know. We need to know what God is requiring of us, and He has a kingdom. He's working among us, and I'm thankful for that He have people and He's working. And I want to be able to recognize what God is doing. I can sit here and not even recognize what God is doing, and He's working all the time, and I miss it. So I don't want to miss it. I want to be found. Looking for God and seeing Him among us. And then I don't know how much of this meeting, Brother Smith. I really was. I was impressed with the ministry and our pastor. I thought he was one of the men that presented the way he taught it, the subject. And I was thinking at one time, I said, well, he did such a good job, until I thought, well, you know, these men ought to just believe everything he said. But anyway, but that was some questions being asked. And then when time for questions, then you can kind of see, you know, and everybody, I mean, being honest about it, I think these men are trying to seek God out, I mean, and these subjects and these doctrines. And I appreciate that. You know, they're not just taking your word for it just because you said it, but they want to know, and I appreciate that very much. To be among this kind of people that's searching God and looking for Him and finding answers. So anyway, it's good to be here tonight, and we're here with, we got some company, and I understand from California, is that right? Brother John Wright's assembly, okay. Hopkinson. Hopner. All right. Brother Hopner. Okay. All right. Well, that's good to have y'all. Good to have y'all. Well, you know, Brother John Wright, back in Brother Frail's day, I guess you go back to that time. I remember when Brother Frail came here, we was having a, what kind of meeting was that, Brother Daniel? It was a minister's meeting. Anyway, it was my job to drive Brother Frail around. And he was here in Little Rock. And they always tease me about this. Was that?
That was a chore.
It was not bad. He wasn't bad. But anyway, he had to have special attention. Brother Tucker wanted to make sure that he was taken care of. And they kept telling me, come here, James. You know, but anyway, they teased me about it. But anyway, he was a good man. I appreciate him. He gave me some tips and some things to be aware of, and appreciate him very much. Brother, I remember Brother Weiniger telling some experiences he had out there in California at Brother Frail's church. They kind of got him kind of loose in the spirit, if I remember correctly. He kind of, they worked. But anyway, it was good, though. It turned out good, didn't it? Turned out good. He got broke loose. Anyway. But anyway, it's good to be here tonight, and good to be in the house of God, and to know that we're on a journey with God's people, and I want to make the best of it. I want to enjoy what I'm doing. They say if you're working out here and you just love what you're doing, and it's a job, then it's no longer a job. You know, if you like what you're doing. I never really had one of those jobs that I liked some things about it, but I never had a job that I loved everything about it. Never had one of those kind of jobs, but one of these days maybe I will. But anyway, I'm trying to learn to, even among these people, I had to acquire, I remember getting to hear all these things. I thought, I'm going to get to hear this, all this gospel. It's like, you know, I didn't deserve it. I didn't earn it. There it was. It just started handed to me. It was like things handed to me on a silver platter, and I got to hear these good, wonderful truths and teachings, and I just had to acquire taste for the things of God. I was in a place where I was kind of at ease, and they felt that we was, you know, on our way to heaven, But I appreciate having an opportunity to begin to learn about God and to begin to like the things of God. And that's what it's kind of been a gradual thing for me, to be able to like what things of God, you know, and realize that God's way is the best way. His people, even somebody said, if there was no heaven to go to, this is still the best way to go. This is still the best people to be with. Even if you didn't even look forward to heaven, if you just wanted to live among these people here on the earth, it still is the best choice. So anyway, it's good to be here tonight, and I guess we need to go ahead and pray for our needs here, lift up the God's people. I know Brother and Sister Crow, I know you mentioned them. Remember Brother and Sister Crow. Sister Crow was special. All right. Remember them? Any other? prayer requests. Okay, is it camp, you say? Camp. Okay, it's just a camp. All right, remember that? Okay, brother. Okay. Just remember Brother John Wright. And his wife, all right? What's her name, brother? What's her, Brother John Wright, oh, his sister Wright. That's good. That's good. All right, that was your first name. But anyway, Sister Durham. All right. Just remember that need tonight. Okay. All right. Just about to hear that. Okay. All right, Brother Stewart. Sister Lynette, remember her and pray for her. Brother Daniels. All right. Okay. Sister Donna. Dylan. All right. How's he doing? Doing good. All right. Let's remember Dylan tonight, Brother Martin. Pray for Brother Boyd. Dizzy. Sister Watson, remember her. Pray for her. Bet doing okay. All right. Brother Weiniger. Remember Brother Weiniger. All right. Okay. Authorized. Brother Henry, yes. Oh, God. Right. Grandpa, Brother Stan and Brother Dodson, did he already have the procedure or are you going to have? He's doing okay. Okay. Mm. Remember, Brother Stan, pray for him tonight. Do you want to mention that? Did you want to mention that? Or, okay. Sister, who was Brother Mike? Your mother, okay. Remember Brother Mike's mother? All right. Lots of needs here. So let's remember God's people. All right. Everybody else? So I guess the ushers come up. Let's all stand and take these needs to the Lord and pray that God help us people. Father in heaven, thank you, O God, for this night. For your mercy, O God, that you've shown us. Pray that you help us, help your people, Lord. Touch their needs, Lord, tonight. Precious Savior, thank you, God. Jesus, Jesus. Oh, glory, glory, glory. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Oh, God, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, God, help these needs. Lord, help your people. Lord, help us to look to you, Lord, and put our confidence and our trust in you. Each need, each request, Brother and Sister Cole, Lord, help them. Lord, help each one. Brother Stan, Brother Dodson, oh, God. Glory, 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 Lord. Lord, help each one. Precious Savior, thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. These requests, spoken and unspoken requests, Lord. Oh, glory, glory, glory. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Jesus. Is that enough? Just three. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Precious Savior, thank you. One more. Okay.
appreciate having Brother and Sister Hopner here from Brother Wright's. I don't know them, but I know their pastor very well. And I love him. He's a wonderful man of God. And I really have a great appreciation for their assembly. Their assembly has been one of the strongest supports to our missionary work in the Dominican Republic. They've been faithful for many years. Every time I have a meeting, Brother Wright, he always calls it rice and beans money. First time he handed me a check, he said, "Here's your little rice and beans money." And I opened it up, and it was $4,000. I thought, that'll buy a lot of rice and beans. But he's been such a blessing to help us since we started the work in 2001. And he's never been able to make it over there yet, but he's been faithful to support us and help us. I really appreciate that. It seems like the people that have missionary works understand the needs, and they're your biggest supporters. And so I'm just thankful. He has, though, sent people from their assembly. What was the names of the people that came? Schlotsky? Is that right? Brother and Sister Schlotsky? Is that? He's Russian and she's Spanish. She's Mexican. And she was the one that got up over there and told about getting the Holy Ghost in see if I can get up for a little while. When she first went to church out at Brother Frayer's, and she was telling her testimony in the Dominican Republic about when she went to church at Brother Frayer's, well, the first time. Well, they had dinner after service, and she said she went to the dining room and ate with them, and some of the sisters got to talking to her, and they asked her if she had the Holy Ghost. And she said, "No, I can't get it." She said, "I've tried and tried. I've went different places to try to get it." She said, "But I just can't get it. I've just, you know, it seems like I don't know why. I'm just not able to get it." And they said, "Oh, yes, you can get it." They said, "You're going to get it tonight." So they I don't even know if they let her finish eating, but they took her back to a room and they started praying for her. She told this over there. And she said, "All them women got to praying for me and got around me." And she said, "They told me, they said, you do what we tell you to do and you'll get it." And she said, "They told me to say la, la, la." And just, she said, "Say it." And she said, so I said, started saying la, la, la. And I thought, when she started telling this, you know, I thought, "Oh God, I'm going to have to fix this." You know, this ain't how you get the Holy Ghost. But she kept talking, and she said, "I kept doing what they told me to do, and in a little while I got the Holy Ghost." And I was listening to her, and I thought, what they did was, is they got her to open her mouth and loose her tongue, and where the Holy Ghost could take over. See, a lot of people I've noticed in the Dominican Republic, when I first went over there, they would do all kinds of things when the Spirit would hit them. In fact, everybody that's been over there, I'm sure, have noticed, you know, they have all kinds of different manifestations. One of them is they'll go up and down with their body, you know, but they won't speak in tongues. Or they get to doing like this. They get to shaking all over, just, you know, but they won't speak in tongues. The Spirit of God gets on them, but they don't know what to do with it. and they don't know how to yield. You know, people, they don't want to yield their tongue. That's, you know, you don't want to. That's something you have to give over to the Lord to let God have your tongue. And of course, I know if you get deep enough in the Spirit, God will take over and you will speak in tongues. But some people can't disengage their mind enough to yield their tongue. But I remember, I believe their name is Slotsky. Is that right? Brother and Sister Slotsky, I believe that's right. I mean, I know them when I see them. I've seen them several times at meetings. But anyway, they were such a blessing. Of course, she spoke Spanish. You know, she really had a good time over there because that's their native language. And so does he. He's Russian, but he speaks fluent Spanish too. And but anyway, that may have been the meeting that we had 37 people one night get the Holy Ghost in that meeting. And I think it was. And when she started telling that, you know, I thought, oh, I'm going to have to get up behind her and fix this. But the more I listened to her, the more I began, you know, Brother Frayer, he had ways. Brother Frayer, if you went in Brother Frayer's church, you was in trouble. You wasn't going to get out of there without God dealing with you some way. They're going to make sure of it. And anyway, I know as she talked, the more she talked, I began to realize what they did and how they helped her. And she finally did say, she said, that I wasn't speaking in tongues, but I just being obedient. I just doing what they told me to do. But she said, before they let me out of that room, I had the Holy Ghost. She said, they knew how to get a person filled with the Holy Ghost. Well, it's been a something that I've really worked on in the Dominican Republic because our knowledge of the baptism of the Holy Ghost, we understand that when you receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost is when you're born again. That's a birth that takes place in your life, the nature. Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again. And in the book of Acts, Jesus told his disciples, here's how important it was. In fact, it was the message from the very first day of Pentecost when those that were watching the 120 and hearing them manifest in tongues, and they weren't only just speaking in unknown tongues, they were speaking in other tongues. One of the gifts of the Spirit is other tongues, but when you speak in unknown tongues, you're speaking to God, Paul said. And and on the day of Pentecost, the Bible said that cloven tongues appeared to them. Cloven means like a hoof of a cow or a goat. It has two parts. It's a cloven hoof, two parts. And cloven tongues appeared to them of fire, cloven tongues of fire. There was two parts to that. They spoke both, if you want to turn in your Bible in the book of Acts, they spoke in unknown tongues. They received the promise of the Father. Jesus told them, here's how important, it's what John the Baptist came preaching. He said, I indeed baptize you. This is in Matthew 3, but I'll just quote it for you tonight. You can read it later. He said, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but there cometh one after me. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. That was John's message, that Jesus was coming and he would baptize with the Holy Ghost. And Jesus, before he died, one of the last things that he talked to his disciples about is recorded in the 14th chapter of St. John. In fact, let's just back up there. I might just talk a little bit about this. You might say, well, I know this, I've heard this. Well, it don't hurt you to review. You need to know it well enough that you can tell it. You can tell it to somebody. Prove it to them with scriptures. In John, the 14th chapter, Jesus was talking to his disciples. They'd went in the upper room, and he was telling them, don't let your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. And then he said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. That word mansions there is the, it's the Greek word mone. And it means abode. They could have translated it this way. In my Father's house are many abodes. But for some reason they translated it mansions. And he said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. Let me tell you, before I read any more, the entire 14th chapter, Jesus is talking about him making a way so that they could receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost and be born again. That's the whole chapter, what it's talking about. And that's what he's saying. I'm going to prepare that. I'm going to make a way. No man had ever been born again. No man had ever went to heaven before Jesus came. And he came that you might have life. That's what the Holy Ghost is. It's the life of God the Father. It's his nature. It's his life. Adam, when God made Adam, he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and he became a living soul. He was alive unto God. He was called the Son of God. And never was another man born of God. We were all born of Adam in a fallen condition after the fall until Jesus came, and he came to restore that he took not away, the Bible said. He came to give us life. And here's what he said, I came to give you life, which is Holy Ghost life, and give it to you more abundantly. That's eternal life or everlasting life. Oh, he came for those reasons. Verse 3 in John 14, he said, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you unto myself. See, he's not talking about I'm going to go fix heaven up. Heaven don't need fixed up. It never did need fixed up. It never had to be anything built in heaven to receive you and I. That's not what he's talking about here. He's talking about I am preparing a way that you can be born again, reconciled to God. I'm going to make restitution for you and become your propitiation for sin and be a mediator and make a way that you can be where I'm at. He was God's Son here on this earth. And that's what he was preparing for them. Then he says in the third verse, I go to prepare a place for you. If I go to prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you unto myself. That was on the day of Pentecost. That where I am, there you may be also. Not where I'm going, but where I am. The condition I'm at in God. The place I have in God. Being born of God's nature. I want you to have what I have. I keep reading y'all that verse in Romans 8:29, that those who he predestined, He also glorified, He called predestined called, and he glorified. And then he said that you might be conformed to the image of his dear son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. See, he was the firstborn, but it's not supposed to stay that way. There's supposed to be many brethren. You and I are to be conformed to his image, and we're to be born of God. That's what the Holy Ghost is. It's the birth. And back in John 14:4, it said, whither I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If you had known me, you should have known my Father also, and from henceforth you know him and have seen him. Philip said unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus said unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father, and how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. I'm going to show you what he meant here in just a few minutes. You stay in the same scripture context here when he said, believest thou not that I am in the Father and the Father in me? Because he dwelleth in me, he's saying. He's actually just saying, he's like one of those. Put that scripture back up there, if you wouldn't mind, in Romans, the one that I quoted in Romans 8:29. Because what Jesus is saying here is similar to what Paul was saying when he said, there it is, for whom he did foreknow, he did also predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that's talking about us being conformed, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Well, Jesus was the firstborn of God, and he was like God. He was conformed to God because he was God's child. See, when you and I are born of God, we're one of God's children, but it takes a transformation process for us to become more like him. And God did something. Jesus was God's son that he sent from heaven, and so God watched over him, and he didn't come here and have to receive the Holy Ghost. He was born of God when he got here. But his Father was in him and dwelled in him, and God did the works. And then in verse 11, back in John 14, it said, believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Sometimes I quote that scripture to the Lord. Sometimes I'll even ask God. I'll say, I'm asking you to do this for the work's sake. I like that saying right there. This is your work we're working on, Lord. And I'm asking you for your work's sake to answer my prayer. I need a witness. Jesus said, I'm not by myself, but there's another that bears witness of me. Every once in a while, you are to pray that prayer. You are to say, God, for your work's sake, bear witness of me. I'm your child, and I need to witness to help me. I'm trying to, reach out and touch some people, and I need them to know that you're real. Verse 12 said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. And whosoever whatsoever shall ask my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I'll do it. That scripture right there has qualifications to it. Number one, it said, whatsoever you ask in my name. That his name, you got to be in his name. And you've got to be under the authority of his name. And you've got to be doing what God's called you to do. Jesus was successful because he was in here, he was here in his Father's name. He was under his Father's authority. He was working, doing what God asked him to do. And so if God was dwelling in him, he knew when he asked God, he knew whether or not it was God's will. You know, many times when he prayed, God already showed him what he wanted to do, and he was just doing the will of the Father. Verse 15 here says, if you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he'll give you another comforter. Now he's starting to reveal to them about the Holy Ghost that he's going to send. He said, I will pray the Father, and he'll give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. See, the Holy Ghost was with them, and the Holy Ghost was with men of old in the old covenant, but he wasn't dwelling in them. He was there, his presence was there, but he wasn't in them. He wasn't part of their nature. They hadn't been born of him. The Holy Ghost wasn't resident in their life. Verse 18 said, and I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but you see me, because I live, you shall live also. See, he was basically telling them, you're not alive unto God yet. You know, they may have been God's children by faith and by election, that God had chosen Israel and chosen the Jews. And right now, he was talking to his 12. And it did reach out to the whole 120 that they had influence over, their families and those that they had influence over. Verse 20 says, and that day you shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. See, he's bringing that same terminology where he said, my Father, when you've seen me, you've seen my Father, because my Father is in me. He dwells in me. I'm in him and he's in me. And now he's telling his disciples, when this happens, when you receive this comforter, in that day you'll know that I am in my Father and you in me and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I'll love him, and will manifest myself to him. Judas said unto him, not Iscariot, the other Judas, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? Verse 23, Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he'll keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. That word right there, abode, is the exact same Greek word, mone, that's in the second verse that is translated mansions. where it says, in my Father's house are many mansions, this is the exact same word that's translated abode here. But see, it wouldn't sound too good over here if you put, we will come unto him and make our mansions with him. See, but their translators really didn't get it that Jesus, they thought he's going to go fix up a nice home for them. And they just made it the best kind of abode they could think of, which would be the best kind of house you could build, or a mansion. That's not what this chapter's talking about. This chapter's talking about God and Jesus coming in the Spirit, the Holy Ghost, imparting the nature or the life of God. God imparted his life into Jesus. Let me give you this now. Let's deviate just a little bit. And I know many of you have heard this before, but Jesus, he's the creator in Colossians. Let's just turn, hold your place in John. Can you hold your place in John and turn to Colossians, the first chapter. Let's start in the 12th verse right here, where it says, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet, which means able, to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. Now Jesus here is the image of God. He's not God. He is, Philippians said he thought it not robbery to be called equal with God. While when he was talking about himself being a son of God, and when he was in heaven with God, he was deity. God, I'm going to read on to you here just a little bit. He was God's image, but he was the firstborn of every creature. Now, you cannot be a creature unless you've been created. See, God the Father has always existed. But Jesus was the firstborn of every creature. He's called the beginning of the creation of God in Revelations 1. He's the beginning. God, here's the way to understand it. God created Jesus. He's not equal with God. He hadn't always existed like God has. God's eternal. He has no beginning and he has no end. That's beyond our comprehension. That you and I don't know but nothing about never beginning. But Jesus is the Alpha and Omega. He's the beginning and the end. He's the beginning of God's creation, and he's the end. Now, let's read on here in Colossians just a minute. He who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature, for by him were all things created, Jesus, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether there be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him, for he's before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, in that all things he might have preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. God, it pleased God that in his Son all fullness would dwell. Jesus created everything. God created him, and he created everything that was created in heaven and in earth. That was one of the questions, I think I mentioned it in Bible study, but one of the questions that we had, and you know, we were dealing with partly in the minister's meeting, the creation. And I never would have dreamed anybody would have asked this question, but one of the ministers asked, he said, I'm going to ask a question and I don't want anybody to laugh because it's a sincere question. He said, did Adam have a belly button? I think everybody laughed. But, you know, his point was he was made. He wasn't born of a woman. I said, well, he may not have had a belly button, but he did have a scar on his side where God took the rib out and made a woman. But anyway, so it pleased God that in him all fullness would dwell. All right, now let's go back to John 14. I just brought that up because I want you to understand why God and Christ, my Father and I, are going to make our abode with you. Because God abode in Christ. He was the image of his Father. He was just like him. When you seen Christ, you saw exactly how the Father would act in the same situation. He was God manifested in the flesh. He was God's Word here on the earth. He was God's beginning and end. He was His Creator. And so when he went back to heaven, he prayed. He said, Father, glorify Thou me with the glory that I had with Thee before the world was. He prayed. He wanted that place back. But he had a greater place. I think this is a good thought. He had a greater place when he went back. When he was in heaven as the firstborn or the first creature, he was created in a celestial form. He wasn't made in the likeness of man. He never tasted death. He never suffered being tempted with sin. Gave you those two scriptures last week where angels cannot sin. They can't die and they can't sin. And let me get those scriptures in my mind. In Hebrews 2 where it said, that it starts off in the first chapter where it says he was higher than the angels. He had an inheritance. He was made higher than the angels because of his inheritance. God never said to any one of the angels anytime, thou art my son, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. Paul was quoting from Scripture in Psalms. But then in the second chapter of Hebrews, he said he was made a little lower than the angels. Now first, he wanted you to know he was higher than the angels by inheritance. Then he said in the second chapter, he was making his main point that he was made lower than the angels that thou madest him, there it is on the board, a little lower than the angels. Thou crownest him with glory and honor and did set him over the works of thy hands. Then the next verse, thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet, for in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing. He left nothing that is not put under him, but now we see not yet all things put under him. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death. See, he had to be made lower. If he could have came as an angel or a God-man or as a deity, he couldn't have died. But he had to be made lower than the angels for the suffering of death. And then in Luke 20, 39, I believe it is, maybe 36, 39, right in there, Jesus was answering the question about the woman who'd been married 7 times, they said. And they asked Jesus, whose wife is this woman going to be in the resurrection? What they wanted to know was, is this woman going to be, in heaven, who's going to have this woman for a wife? He said, well, y'all don't understand. You don't understand the scriptures. For it, they neither marry or are given in marriage. Go to the next verse. Let's see. Yeah, it going up to, what is it, 34. Where he said, you do err, not knowing the scriptures. He said that the children of this world marry are given in marriage, but they which shall be accounted worthy to obtain that world and the resurrection from the dead neither marry are given in marriage, for they are, neither can they die any more, for they are equal to the angels. So this scripture shows Jesus is saying when you in the resurrection for eternal life, that's what they were wanting to know, when you go to heaven, when you have eternal life, is she going to be married to someone? He said, no, you don't marry or given in marriage in that world, but you neither do they die anymore, but are equal to the angels. In other words, he made that statement saying the angels don't die and they can't die. That's what he's saying. So Jesus, he was made lower than the angels for the purpose of suffering for death. So but when he went back to heaven and was glorified with God, he sat down on the right hand of the Father. And he's still not finished. Every knee is going to bow. Every tongue is going to confess. And there's going to come a day, Jeremiah said, when you're going to ask your neighbor, do you know the Lord? Nobody's going to ask their neighbor, do you know the Lord? For everybody will know him. Brother Tally, that's going to be pretty good, isn't it? I want to be there when I can look at everybody I meet on the earth, and they're my brothers and my sisters. And this world has been cleaned up. And sin, sorrow, separation, death will be no more. Hallelujah. All right, let's get back to John 14. 14:23. Let me read that again. Jesus answered and said, if a man love me, he'll keep my words. And my Father will love him. And we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not, keepeth not my sayings. And the word which ye hear is not mine, but my Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, this Comforter I'm telling you about, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. So he's telling them here in this chapter, I'm going to go fix it. My death and resurrection is going to fix it, where God is going to accept my sacrifice and you are going to be reconciled to God through a new birth, through this Comforter, this Holy Ghost that's coming. Then if you remember, after he resurrected, Remember, he went to, after he resurrected from the grave, he didn't go back to heaven right away. I'll show you how important it was. He went to where the house where his disciples were. He just walked through a wall, I guess, and appeared to them. And he talked to them. And he walked up to them and he blew on them and said, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost." Remember, and he told them to go and wait in the upper room until they be endued with power from on high. In Acts, the first chapter, he told them before he was caught up in verse 2, Acts 1 and 2. It says, "Until the day in which he was taken up, after he through the Holy Ghost had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to God, the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, 'You have heard of me, for John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence.' When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, 'Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel?' And he said, 'It's not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses of me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and the uttermost part of the earth.'" So then he was caught up in a cloud out of their sight. But look, wouldn't you like to have been in that crowd for 40 days after Jesus' resurrection, that he gave commandments, instructions, and talked to his disciples concerning the kingdom of God? My Lord, they didn't write that down, what he said, but I would have liked to, I'd like to hear that. When I get there, I'm going to sit down. I'm going to say, "Peter, sit down here on this cloud," or whatever it is you sit down on. "I got questions for you. I want you to tell me, what did he tell y'all? What did y'all do for 40 days? What happened during that period of time?" And then he told them, he said, "Now you go in Jerusalem and you wait for the promise of the Father." And of course, we all know that they did. Because it said when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, if you want to read that verse in chapter 2, when it fully come, verse 2, "Suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind. It filled the house where they were sitting, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues." There's that word, cloven. I was telling you, two parts. See, they didn't only just speak in unknown tongues, but they spoke in known tongues, other languages. We hadn't seen that happen too much. I've seen messages a few times given out in other languages where someone present was. I remember one time a message was given out in San Antonio, Texas. And there was a lady from India there. And when this message was given out in tongues, she said, "That message was for me. It was clearly in my language." And then there's been a few other times I know when messages were given out in another language. Sister Smith, when we went to the Dominican Republic, as one of the things that God did for her. She prayed for people, and she didn't know it, but she prayed for them clearly in Spanish. And, you know, I've gave that testimony a few times. There's a few times that she prayed for people and in Spanish. And one time we were going back to, Brother Green was taking us to the airport. We was going home. And Sister Smith and I and Jamilka, Brother Green's daughter, was going, riding in the car with us. And on the way to the airport, she said, she told her daddy in Spanish, said, I want to say something. And he said, all right. Said, Jamilka wants to tell y'all something. And so he told her, go ahead and tell it. He was interpreting for her. And she said, I want to repent. Because when the times that they said Sister Smith spoke, prayed for people and talked in Spanish, she said, I didn't believe it. She said, because I know Sister Smith can't speak Spanish. She don't know nothing. She don't understand nothing in Spanish. And I know that's impossible. And I didn't believe it. But she said, last night, she started crying. She said, last night, Sister Smith prayed for me in service. And she prayed for me clearly and correct Spanish. And I know now that God can do that. And so, you know, and I, you know, and I've even said, you know, it, for a while I asked God, I thought, God, what are you doing? You know, you sent me to the Dominican Republic and you got this woman doing this miracle, speaking in Spanish. Why are you doing it that way? And the Lord told me, he said, you know I sent you. I've bore witness. I've gave you miracles. There's been all kinds of dreams. There's things happening. You know I sent you over here. But he said, she needs to know it. She needs to know I called y'all over here. So he was giving her a witness to help her to know and understand that God was really, truly in what we were doing. That he had sent us to do that. And so here, they spoke in cloven tongues, both in other tongues and in unknown tongues. But it says cloven tongues like as a fire that set up on each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues. The reason it's saying that right here is because of the context. As the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. See, the Jews had scattered throughout all of that known land there, throughout Asia, all of Israel, even down into Egypt, all of that known land of that world back there, the Jews had scattered throughout that whole area. Verse 6 says, now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded because that every man heard them speak in his own language. See, the Jews, when they scattered and moved into these other areas, many of those children grew up in those areas and they learned how to speak the language of the area they were in. And they weren't fluent in their own native language, many of them. And the reason they were there in Jerusalem is the Jews had to come there for Passover. The Passover feast and the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And they were there at that time. And that's when God did this and it was noised abroad in the city. Anyway, and then it says, every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we ever men in our own tongue, wherein we were born? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, dwellers of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, in Egypt and in parts of Libya about Cyrene, and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongue the wonderful works of God. And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, what meaneth this? Others mocking, saying, these are full of new wine. Well, then that's when Peter stood up and he started preaching. This is that was spoken of the prophet Joel, saying, in the last days, I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and daughters will prophesy, and your young men will see visions, your old men will dream dreams. And he went ahead and preached his message. If you go down to verse 33, it said, therefore, being by the right hand of God, exalted and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he hath shed forth this which you now see and hear. And then, verse 37 said, now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For he said, the promise is unto you. That must have been one of the things Jesus told them. Look, when you receive this comforter, when you're born again, tell the people that it's for them. And the promise is unto you and your children and all that are far off. They may not have understood that, but Peter gave out the message. I don't know if Jesus told him to do that or if he just prophesied under the unction of the Holy Ghost. I know the unction of the Holy Ghost was there for sure. Even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. And so they received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and then those people. I don't know how many of them were there, but I know. The first day there was 3,000 souls added. That's how, wouldn't you like to be in a meeting where 3,000 people came? I don't know how many would have to come for 3,000 people to get saved. And I don't have any doubt but what they received the Holy Ghost. Then the next day 5,000 came in. Business was picking up, wasn't it? Hallelujah! Praise God! And one of these days, the church is going to be restored, and God is going to deal with his people in this world. See, the Jews were in a condition back there that they didn't understand the coming of the Messiah, what he was going to do. They didn't understand that the kingdom of God was a spiritual kingdom. It was his family, his called out people. And they didn't understand that at first. But when God began to deal with his people among the Jews, and then, of course, he used Peter to open the door to the Gentiles. And people have been receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost ever since this day of Pentecost. I do believe there was a break during the Dark Ages, where people didn't get the Holy Ghost. They didn't even know what they had. There was some people, the Quakers, they quaked and they'd shake and quake and jabber, and no doubt some of them probably received the Holy Ghost, but they didn't know what they had. But it wasn't until 1901 in the Gentile world that God put it in the mind of Charles Parham in Topeka, Kansas, and began to talk to the school there in Topeka and about the baptism of the Holy Ghost. He said, I believe that there's something about this that we're not understanding, that we're not getting. And there was a young lady in that school named Agnes Osborne. And she, you know, the Lord began to deal with her. And Charles Parham went, he was going to be gone for a few days, and she told the class, she said, "I believe the Lord has put it in my heart to tell y'all that if y'all would pray for me, that I would get this Holy Ghost. I would get this, I would be filled with the Spirit of God." And they began to gather around her, you know, and it was God's time for that to be restored. And I'm not saying nobody else had it, but nobody knew what it was. It wasn't until that happened in Topeka, Kansas. They gathered around her and started praying for her, and she got the Holy Ghost and began to speak in tongues. And then others began to get the Holy Ghost and speak in tongues. And people began to go there. And then they took the message down to Houston, Texas about it. And people started getting the Holy Ghost there. And Brother Seymour, he was a black preacher. And his name was Seymour. And he was there in Houston, Texas. And I can't remember why, what caused him to move to Los Angeles, California. But he went out there, and they wanted him to pastor the church out there. But when they found out what he was preaching, they didn't feel very comfortable with it. But anyway, it wound up on Azusa Street in a mission. And it was open day and night, and people went in there for 3 years, and everybody that go in there and wait on the Lord would get the Holy Ghost. And this Spirit-filled baptism of the Holy Ghost people began to spread out all over America, and the Pentecostal movement was on. And then it was in 1913, when God saved William Souders. In 1914, he called him to begin to call out a people. To call out a people. The very heart of what God was working on. Nobody realized at that time that God was really going to restore the church. God started revealing the scriptures in the Bible that the church would be restored. So Brother Souders began to preach a message, and it got to be called, the groups began to be called the School of the Prophets. I mentioned that at the meeting. I said, this is still a school. We were in a class there. I mean, I don't know where you could find, there's about 500 preachers there. And we were talking on a delicate subject. Talking on the subject of the devil. And working on that. A lot of people aren't working on that because they don't know anything different than what they've been taught or what the Catholic Church taught about it. But there's a lot more on it than what, you know, very, very few theologians could explain to you the difference between the serpent, Satan, the devil, and the dragon. But there's different characteristics of all four titles and all four names that has to do with the devil or Satan. But it escalates from a serpent to Satan, to the devil, and to finally a dragon. There's a lot to be said on it. And we listened for 3.5 days of men talking on that subject. For an example, I'll just give you an example that a lot of people, you could ask this question out in religion. Just get around people you know that are Christians, just ask them this question. Say, how many times do you think the word Lucifer's in the Bible? How many times it is in the Bible? You could ask them. See, every one of y'all know the answer pretty well, but they just almost won't believe you when you tell them it's in there one time. In the 14th chapter of Isaiah, and it has nothing to do with the devil. It's a proverb against the king of Babylon. Clearly, if you just read the 14th chapter of Isaiah, it clearly tells you that this is a proverb against the king of Babylon, and he's called the son of the morning, O Lucifer, which means light giver. It just meant that Babylon was the light. The whole world looked to Babylon. Back there, it was a world power. How many of y'all know today that America is what every nation looks to in this world? That America is the light to this world. Everybody looks to America for economic stability, military stability, agricultural stability. And, America leads the world. It's a light giver. That's what the word Lucifer means, son of the morning. But he got exalted. He got too big for his britches, and God took him down. But, that is one of the falsehoods that was incorporated into adding it to the doctrine of the devil. You have to take that out. That don't have nothing to do. Well, it does have to do with the devil and evil and where evil works and how it works. But it was dealing with a man. Now, the man was evil, so you can't take the devil out of it completely, but it wasn't talking about something that's transpiring in a spiritual realm. It was transpiring right in Babylon, the nation of Babylon, and God judging a man. That's what it's about. Same thing with the king of Tyre in Ezekiel 28. But anyway, there's a whole lot to be said on that subject. We listened 3.5 days, the night that I made my presentation on the subject. I talked over 2 hours, and I didn't even get halfway through. But they gave us 2 hours to talk on it, so that's all you could do. Do all you can do in 2 hours, and then sit down and let all those preachers ask you questions for clarification about what you're saying. So, but anyway, aren't you glad tonight? That song, Sister, all the songs Sister Bryant was singing was inspiring to me, but I like that last song. How did it go? When I need someone to what? Tell my troubles to. Just when I feel downhearted and blue. Yes, Jesus comes and answers prayer. Hallelujah. Oh God, aren't you glad He answered your prayer? I don't care what kind of condition you get in, when you start looking to Him, you start reaching out to Him and asking Him for help and for deliverance, and He's always, have you noticed, when you need to tell your troubles to Him, He's always there. He'll always listen to you. Oh God, I don't know how many times I've interrupted something He was doing that was busy. He never seems to care. He never seems to bother Him when you start coming to Him and talking to Him. It seems like He's always willing to listen. And if you're really sincere, you can feel the peace of God. Hallelujah. Jesus, when He told His disciples He was leaving, but He was going to send a comforter, He ended that by saying, "Peace I leave with you." Hallelujah. Oh God, thank God for the peace of the Holy Ghost tonight. What He's done for us. I've been born again. Hallelujah. I've got life in my soul. And I'm working. Brother Talley, he said he could be in a church tonight where he didn't even need that he needed to do anymore. Well, one thing you need to do is be content with knowing that you're secure in God if you're doing all you know to do. But at the same time, we know that there's Jesus is calling He's called us out for the bride call. He's making up His bride. He's fixing a place for that. That's what the restoration of the church is for, is to finish making up the bride, and He's called you and I. He's let you in on this to let you know that there's a full restoration of all things. Everything God has. Paul told the Ephesians back there. He said He's made us to sit down together with Him in heavenly places. Not just one, but heavenly places. And there was a first heaven and a second heaven condition back there. We haven't restored second heaven completely. If I had time, I'd just move right over and start talking on that tonight, Brother Caleb, but I'm running out of time. But you all have got me fired up. I'm ready to talk now. When I got here, I didn't even think I'd talk. I wasn't even going to preach. But y'all have a way of drawing it out of me. I know y'all are thinking that I've got a way of telling it whether y'all are drawing or not, but I... Anyway, God bless your hearts. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. We're good to have Brother and Sister Hopner. When are y'all going back, Brother Hopner? Monday. Are y'all going to be here this weekend, or y'all got to be in a... getting married in Conway, isn't it? Heber Springs, all right. Heber Springs, yes. All right. Let's all stand. Give God a praise. Be sure to shake Brother and Sister Hopner's hand. Please tell Brother Wright how very appreciative we are for the support and help that y'all have been to the work in the Dominican Republic. I just can't say enough about it or how thankful or blessed we've been. And Brother Wright has been faithful to us. I want you to carry that message back home to him. Thank you, Lord. God, for your goodness and your mercy. Hallelujah. Oh, Lamb of God. Precious Savior. Oh, mighty God. Mighty God. Lord Jesus. God, quicken this Holy Ghost life that's in us. Oh, God, keep touching us. Keep quickening us. Help us, oh, God. Help us to share it with the world, Lord. Those that you have in this area, God, some way let us touch them. Let us reach out to others. Let us minister your gospel. Oh, God, use us as only you're able to do, Lord, we pray. We give you praise. Amen. Amen. All right, shake hands with one another. And be friendly. God bless you. See you Sunday. Sunday night, we're having a baptism service, water baptism service. So there's some that wants to get baptized again even. So remember that.